T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Drive with Bob and Jeff. Dial 869-1240.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
The Drive on KFH.
I never saw the end in
sight. All right, this music comes from Shannon Luce, Jeff's lovely wife, my daughter-in-law. George Strait, Write This Down, as we continue with our Better Halves music theme for the month here on The Drive. Tyler Palmateer joins us from the Norman Transcript. He covers Oklahoma football. Tyler, thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on.
If you're going to get somebody's leftovers, it's not bad to get Alabama's leftover at quarterback. Jalen Hurts looks like the next in a line now of Oklahoma quarterbacks that are going to contend for and potentially win Heisman trophies. What's to keep me from thinking Jalen's not in that mix?
I don't. You know, I think he's. I guess he's got to be considered at least in the mix. I think as far as Vegas is concerned, I think he's a good value pick. Like, I guess I saw like 10-1 odds or something. But the difference between, and I guess, you know, just for clarity, just to be official, you know, Jalen Hurts hadn't been named the starter just yet. You know, there's a formality of basically a competition taking place right now between Hurts and, you know, a former 5-star freshman, Spencer Rattler, and Tanner Mordecai, who's a redshirt freshman. I think we'll all be really surprised if Hurts doesn't get it.
Yeah, you mentioned 10-1 odds. I've got 3,000,000-1 odds that he's going to be the quarterback.
That's probably pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I'll fall over if he doesn't get it, and that'd be really surprising. But I think the difference between Hurts and Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, the guys that won Heismans before him that you mentioned, is he is really on a crash course here to figure this offense out and thrive in it and mesh with teammates, and just with him just getting here in the spring, he has a lot less time with Lincoln Riley than Riley had with Kyler Murray and certainly Baker Mayfield. So that's the one thing that's working against both parties there. But, you know, I don't see, you know, I think people in Alabama mostly liked what Jalen Hurts did. So I don't see any reason why you can't give both a shot to go in there and when I say both, I mean Riley and Hurts to make this thing work, because I think Hurts has shown to be a willing teammate and a willing player. He just seems more than comfortable, you know, for being just having turned 21 years old. He really acts like he's like 38. And Riley has proved me pretty talented as well. So I think they kind of deserve the benefit of the doubt, but it's not going to be easy either.
I hate to kind of lump them all together because I know the circumstances for each was different, but Mayfield, Murray, Hurts, all three transfer quarterbacks, and it seems like the one-year transfer for a quarterback is becoming a little bit more prevalent in college football. And you mentioned the freshman and the redshirt freshman, so I guess my question was, after Hurts, do you think Oklahoma kind of goes toward a long-term answer at quarterback, or maybe do they look at another transfer if the weapons around him are there next year and they can win?
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. And people have asked that question, you know, what's the game plan here? You can't do this every year. And I don't think they're set up that way. If you look, you know, Spencer Rattler was, I know in at least one publication, he was ranked the number one dual threat quarterback in the class of 2019. He's on campus. And I think the hope is that Hurts wins the job and Rattler can redshirt and be prepared to compete for the job next year. And, you know, with, you know, Tanner Mordecai, who's been on the roster for 1 year, and not to get lost in this whole thing, but they've signed the number one quarterback in the class of 2021 as well. So he's recruiting the position well. I guess I would say the class of 2020 is they're still looking for a quarterback from that class. So I assume you go out and maybe grab a 3-star, but you know, if things work out their advantage, they can have a really good quarterback in for the next 2-3 years and be okay with the talent that they're getting. If everybody stays healthy and stuff like that. I don't think the plan is to keep grabbing transfers, but I think if you're Riley, what a great thing to have in your back pocket to show that you can, that you're kind of a good destination for a transfer as well, as long as that doesn't work against you, where people are going to recruit against you and say, look, this guy, he may sign you now, but he's always got his eyes looking for a transfer that might be better and more experienced, and he'll try and bring him in and he could play over you. I could see that being a negative recruiting tactic, but just to directly answer your question, I don't think the plan is to keep just searching the transfer market every year. He signed two really good quarterbacks from 2019 and 2021.
Tyler Palmateer, our guest, covers the Oklahoma Sooners for the Norman Transcript. Weaponry all over the place offensively. Depth, I guess receiver depth is maybe a bit of a question mark, but they do have to rebuild maybe the nation's best offensive line. And now they have a new defensive coordinator in who's going to try to get this defense going. How solvable are both of those issues for OU?
Those are two. Defense and the offensive line are easily the two biggest question marks they have. The offensive line, I think they like the talent that they have in place, and it sounds like they weren't thrilled with maybe how they played in the spring, but based on hearing them talk the last couple of weeks, I think signs are promising that they can at least, you know, they've got an idea who the group is right now. And Bill Biedenboe might be, you know, he's up there with that upper echelon of offensive line coaches in the country. And probably if I could pick two guys on the staff right now who could be head coaches, I'd probably be Bill Biedenboe and Alex Grinch, who, you know, coincidentally is the guy taking over their defense. So the offensive line is a tough question. When you're placing 4 or 5 starters, that's a lot. I think it works in their favor that they have a center coming back. But that's a lot of guys. And, you know, they have Houston the first game of the year. And, you know, sometimes you just got to weather that first maybe month or two where you're going to have to maybe shuffle a lot of guys around, or if there's an injury or your back's against the wall a little bit. That's overcomable. That's more overcomable than I think on defense. I think they could overcome that more easily than they could their defense, which frankly just has to prove itself that they have guys that are talented enough to produce, and they've grasped Alex Grinch's, you know, system, which is heavily based on forcing turnovers and kind of causing havoc. And up, you know, at the line of scrimmage, they really want to move around a lot and, you know, attack single gaps. I guess in the past it was a lot of, they just want to play, you know, these defensive tackles just absorb blocks and kind of let linebackers make plays. That's going to change. It'll be a little more action at the line of scrimmage for them. So, you know, they weren't very good last year on defense, and that's being nice. So they have a lot to prove on that side of the ball. And that's a, you know, thriving in a system in a first year is tough to do. So they've got to prove that. I think defense is definitely a bigger question mark than the offensive line.
So 3 out of the last 4 years, Oklahoma's season has ended against Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, the top level of programs in college football right now. Do they worry about recruiting so that they can specifically match up with those schools, or do they just want to get in that mix, win the Big 12, be a likely probable CFP team and take their chances in the Final Four?
That's a good question. I think they've been, to hear them talk, is specifically Lincoln Riley, I mean, he probably argues that they're a lot closer than some people think. And in 2017, that he was right. I mean, they really gave up that game against Georgia down the stretch, and their defense struggled. And that's, I think, something they're thinking. If they can get, you know, they don't need a top 20 defense. They don't necessarily need to compete with Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia for the top tier defensive guys, if they could just get in the right now, they're in the bottom 70, 80 in the country defensively. If they could just get in the top 50 or 40, who knows, that could be enough with the really good offense to get you to get a team like Oklahoma a national title. You never know. I mean, I don't know that they're thinking we have to go toe to toe with Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney for the defensive ends and defensive tackles to make it there. I think they're probably thinking they just have to get a little bit better. To that point, the guys they're going to recruit on defense, at least up front, aren't going to be quite as – they're going to be different sizes than what Saban and Swinney and maybe George, they have at Georgia because of this, the way this scheme is. It's sort of built on undersized defensive linemen. Kind of an interesting approach, but to hear them say it, I don't think they're that far away. And I don't think they're just happy getting there and playing and, you know, just kind of rolling the dice and seeing if their offense can get them a title. They, I think, want to get better on defense. And there's a recognition that they have to be better. And Grinch is brutally honest about where he thinks the defense is at right now. So you can tell that they're preaching that. And I think there's an understanding that they know they're not going to win a national title until things on that side of the ball get better.
We got a lot of OU football fans here in Wichita and in our listening area. Tyler Palmateer from the Norman Transcript is talking Oklahoma. Now, they're picked by virtually everyone to win the Big 12. Is Texas, and Texas won the game last year, is Texas a legitimate threat to OU, in your opinion? And could Iowa State be that team that we all think is going to be pretty good, but could they even step up to challenge for a title?
Oh, I don't know about Iowa State stepping up and getting a title, but they could certainly present some problems. I definitely think Texas can win the Big 12 just because I think Oklahoma's got to go prove that they can be a little better on defense and overcome what could be a step back on offense. I mean, it's a new year. It's a new guy behind center. And it does seem like the offense could, there's a potential there for them to take a step back. So for that reason, I see Texas definitely as a threat to win the Big 12. And I just wouldn't be that surprised to see a team like Iowa State go 10-2. I love what Matt Campbell does and how straightforward he is. It seems like everybody, at least it seems like a lot of his players really just mirror his personality, his kind of, you know, that Rust Belt football guy type attitude that he has, very straightforward, really no frills. And it doesn't hurt that they have a great quarterback in Brock Purdy too, to really compete in the Big 12, you know, which is what you need. And, Texas, I think, has that too. They might, you know, for now they have the best proven quarterback in the Big 12, probably in Sam Ehlinger. And so I definitely think it's not Oklahoma's pick to win it again, but it's, of course, you know, we've said this the last year, how tough it is to win four league titles in a row, but it's hard to win five in a row. That's a lot. And it's never been done, the Big 12. And four had never been done. So it'll be really interesting. I think it's going to be a fun Big 12 race. Maybe not some of the, you know, with Iowa State in the mix a little bit more, and as opposed to maybe like an Oklahoma State in the past, or like a Kansas State, kind of a different cast of characters there, 2 and 3 with Texas being back. But I think it'll be a fun league race to watch.
All right, Tyler, before we let you go, we're talking with Tyler Palmateer from the Norman Transcript. Who's going to have the better NFL career, Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray? When we're talking about those two guys in 15 years, who will we look back upon and say that was the better of the two quarterbacks?
I'd give it to Baker Mayfield just because of his. I've just kind of been blown away by how he is kind of like the Pied Piper, you know. He has this thing where he just kind of whistles into his flute and everybody just kind of follows him and they latch onto him. And he's got the physical tools too. I think he's got all the right skills to make that happen and be a great player. I really like what he brings to the table as a teammate, and obviously he's got the arm strength and he's got the mobility and bright guy also. Hopefully I'm not proven wrong, very wrong by that. And Kyler Murray just have an amazing career because certainly Kyler Murray brings a level of athleticism that is just amazing at times, you know, the way he can move around, and or at least what we saw in college, the way he moved around, the plays he made on his feet, superior arm strength, great accuracy. But I think the question, or the, you know, the jury's just out on what he's going to do at the pro level, kind of at his size, especially with the protection he has. You know, preseason games don't mean a whole lot, but man, the offensive line in Arizona right now doesn't. They look like kind of
my
a mess.
Raiders were all over him last night. So he's, and if the Raiders are all over you, look out.
Right. I mean, he took that safety. You know, I didn't watch all of every snap of his play last night, but taking that safety, and you know, that's just kind of a rookie mistake, I guess. You know, you fall backwards for some reason. You kind of forget where you are. I think most quarterbacks, if you're really on your game, you're just going to kind of fall forward and not do that. So it'll be really, I'm really intrigued to see how Kyler Murray's career plays out. But for now, just based on what I've seen from a year from Mayfield and the way that everybody seems to play for him and kind of attach themselves to him, I would pick Mayfield in a heartbeat.
Tyler, good stuff. We appreciate your time, and best of luck to you covering Oklahoma football and all athletics with OU. We appreciate it. Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks a bunch for having me on.
All right, Tyler Palmateer from the Norman Transcript.
He's right about that.
Right about what?
Baker Mayfield. I don't think there's any question.
Well, everybody right now would say that.
Well, I'll say it forever.
Well, good for you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're an all-seer. Yeah,
kind of
you've
am.
You've never
on this.
Really been wrong.
I don't think Baker or Kyler Murray.
Really?
Nah. Don't really see
what,
it.
What do you mean?
I don't
say
see
it.
I don't see
you
it.
You don't see it.
I don't
for the
see
Heisman
it.
Trophy winner. Have you watched him play?
Yeah, I watched him play a couple times last year.
What didn't you like?
I don't see it from a makeup standpoint. I don't think he has the leadership capabilities that you need as a quarterback that Baker
I can't
Mayfield
believe you just said that
possesses.
On this air.
I don't see it. And we'll see.
All right, we'll see. We sure as hell will.
We sure as hell will. Let's see how he deals with failure. Because the Arizona Cardinals are going to have a lot of it this year.
Max, get us out of here so I can take a deep breath and get a drink of whiskey. Back in a minute. You're listening to The Drive on KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.